Amen. Listen, before we do something else, just give this praise team a big clap this morning. Thank you so much. That was great. Good to have a worship team that is anointed, am I right? And that's very sensitive to the word of God. Thank you so much, guys. Jeremiah, that was good, you and the team. Every time I've been here, I go home and tell them, every time I think, man, I just wish I could sing those songs over and over and over. It's so good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for inviting me and my wife again. I just love this church. There's just a good spirit in there and just love of the Lord, of Yeshua in this place. Thank you so much. Last year when I was here, I preached on the mustard seed faith. Okay. And I just want to let you know, I have given Pastor Mark and Sister Tammy each a free copy of my book, The Mustard Seed Faith. So you come and talk to them afterwards. There's some people that want to read that book, come and talk to them afterwards, okay? I just have to tell you that it's available, because otherwise people will say, why didn't you tell us? All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning for the worship and for the praise. Thank you that the people are ready to receive the word of God. Thank you, Father, that we are here and we can love you and that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you this morning that you'll help me to preach through the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God. Thank you, Lord, that the people will listen with the ears of the Holy Spirit and not from their flesh, and that they will understand this word. And thank you that the word of God is the truth, and it will set us free in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay. In the word of God, there is about 3,000 promises for you and me. If it's not less or more, that's more or less. I don't want to say exactly how many, but there's promises that you and I can go, and it's our promises. Do you know that? Eternal life is your promise. Health is your promise. The day when Yeshua died on that cross, he died for all your sins and all your sicknesses. You can be forgiven and you can be healed. But there are many other promises. You'll never forsake you. Wherever you go, Yahweh is always with you. All right? He loves you with an everlasting life. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. There's thousands of promises, hundreds of promises. How many promises you want? They're in the Word of God. What I'm finding is that a lot of people never get to those promises. They're there, but they never get them. You love God, you're saved, you have eternal life, you're forgiven, but for some other reason, you're not getting the promises that you should be getting. In Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were in bondage for 430 years, which just before that, God had told 430 years earlier, told Abraham, and most of you know this whole story. I'm just going to hit on it here and there just to tell you where I'm going. God had told Abraham, I'm taking you to the land. Get out of your father's house. Go to a land that I will show you and I will bless you and I will make you a great nation. And he promised the Israelites the land of Canaan. Am I right? Right. So when they were in slavery, Moses was born and God said to Moses, hey, Moses, it's time to get my people out. Let's go. So when they left Egypt, they were blessed, they were prosperous, there they go. Where were they going? They were on their way to their promise, the promised land. So what happens is there they start going. And the next moment, they get to a Red Sea, an obstacle. And I can just hear those typical Israelites then, just like some of us, oh, come on, God. I mean, you promised me this and you promised me that, but now I look at the Red Sea. There's an obstacle. What's happening? And listen to me, whatever promise you have from God, don't you think that there will never be obstacles in the way that you'll have to go through? And we as Christians, we sometimes give up so easily that we don't get the promise because for some other reason we're looking at the Red Sea, the obstacle. But listen, if you read that whole story, they were supposed to go another way. And God said, I'm not going to take them that way because they will see all the wars and stuff and get discouraged. I'm going to take them this way. So God knew about the Red Sea. But he already had a plan of getting rid of the Red Sea. But the people should have had faith in God that God had told them, I'm going to take you to the promise, so you just keep on going. So when they get to the Red Sea, I can hear somebody say, hey guys, we got a problem. We got a Red Sea in front of us. Somebody said, that's not our big problem. Look behind you. There's some dust. The Egyptians are right behind us. So now we've got an obstacle and the enemy trying to kill us. And what do normal Christian people do? They start crying and whining and, oh God, why? And why this and why that? So in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, God says to Moses, who is doing the words for me? Playing games? And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to do what?
Go forward.
Okay. And I've been asking God what I should preach on this year. And he told me to tell the children of God, the church of God, everywhere that I go. And this is going to be my theme in every church where I'm preaching. It's time for you to go forward. It's time for you to go get the promises that God had promised in his word for you. Whatever, it's time for you to start going forward in faith. Start going forward in scripture reading. Going forward in your prayer life. Going forward in believing. Going forward. Yeah, but there's a Red Sea. Duh, God's going to open up the Red Sea. And guess what? He's going to get rid of the obstacle, open it up, and then take your enemy and drown it with the obstacle. God took what hindered them and that hindrance destroyed the enemy with the hindrance. And some of us, I mean, I've been hearing two people talk around. There's a lot of us that have got a lot of problems. Why? Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua said, I bring you life. I give you life. And you know, that life, I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of not getting what the promises are. So in Jeremiah, but now listen, the Israelites, for some other dumb reason, did not get their promise. They died in the desert. Their children went in with Joshua on them. But the original guys never got their promise. In Jeremiah chapter 7, God said to Jeremiah, look at this. He says, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. He said, but this is what I told them and commanded them, saying, you got to obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. That's still the same today.
Amen.
Exactly. Those words are right here for us. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you.
Amen.
Yet, another word for yet, you know what another word for yet is in Mississippi, but. Okay. They did not obey or incline their ear, but they followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, minds, spirits. And they went what?
Backward.
Not forward. Would you say this with me this morning? We are going to go forward. Not backwards. I want to encourage this church. Whatever, Pastor, wherever you are, whatever God's given you, the vision, whatever God's told you is going to happen, it's time to go forward.
Amen.
Brother Mark, not backwards.
Amen.
But the Israelites did not go forward. They went backwards. And you know how what happened. Hey, they got so discouraged. They were so disobedient. They complained about everything. That they didn't have bread and God gave them manna. And they didn't have water. And Moses hit the rock. And then the manna fell out. And then they wanted the leeks and the onions and the McDonald's and everything that they wanted. And then they opened their big fat mouths and said, we should have died in the desert. We should have gone back to Israel, to Egypt. And God said, man, I've just had enough of you guys. Now you're going to, what you said, you can now have. Tell the people, God said to Moses, what they had said, they can have. And their desire was to go back to Egypt or die in the desert. And we have a bunch of God's people walking around in the desert. Today we have a bunch of Christians, desert Christians, walking around in the desert, never ever getting the promise that God has promised you and I. Well, am I going to go to hell? No, you're saved, you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. But you're going to be a desert walking Christian on the earth. And some of us go backwards instead of going forward. And I'm not hitting anybody hard here. I'm just telling you that in my life I realized, hey, I've got to go forward, not backwards. Say that again with me. We're going forward.
We're going forward.
Not backwards. Because if you go back, you can get troubles. Now, you can go read Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19, and there's five things that Moses told the people why they didn't get to the land of Canaan. First thing was they were disobedient, they complained, they discouraged, they walked in unbelief, they listened to the spies and not to God's word, and then they spoke with their mouths and God said, what you said you could have. Can I do one of those five this morning, which I think a lot of us are battling with? Let me tell you a little story. This is supposed to be a joke. Satan had a garage sale. And he was selling, getting rid of all his tools. And the people came and they were going to buy the tools that Satan had on this garage sale. So one guy said to Satan, he said, hey, all these tools here, you can see they're a bit worn out and stuff, man, but they're cheap. But this one table, you only got one tool on this table. But man, this thing is worn out, man. It's old. It's been used. Satan said, yep. He said, but it's the highest priced tool. Satan said, yeah, yeah. But you see, this is the most important tool that I have. He said, this tool, if I use this tool, God said, but what's it called? He said, this tool is called discouragement. He said, if I can get the Christians discouraged in their mind, in their spirit man, in their inner man, he said, if I can get them discouraged, then they'll get angry, they'll get bitter, they won't believe I can do anything, they'll turn on each other. He says, because discouragement, when a person gets discouraged, they get down in the dumps. Can I just see with your hands how many of you have never, ever been discouraged? Put up your hand so I can slap you. Because you're lying. Every single person has been discouraged. How many of you have been so down in the dumps that you want to give up?
Amen.
Yes. I've told my wife many times, that's it. I'm finished with evangelism. I'm finished with missionary work. I'll serve God, but I'm finished with this whole thing. Why? Because I get so discouraged how people sometimes treat us and tell us and talk to us. And you think you're the only people that bully, being bullied, baby? Join the club. Most Christians are being bullied by the world. And that just gets us so discouraged that we want to go back. And let's just go and sit down and be like we was where we were and just forget about everything. But my Bible tells me, God said, no, I want you to go forward. And I want you to receive the promises that I've given you. What I paid on that cross for, Yeshua said, it's yours. Go take it.
Amen.
If Yahweh promised the Israelites the promised land, then Yahweh's promises in this word is yes and amen. And it's time for the Christians to go and take hold of them. That's why we give word to each other. This is what the word says. This is what Yahweh says. This is the prophetic word. It encourages us. Am I right? So, Hansi, why do you want to talk about discouragement? Oh, my goodness. Discouragement is so and such a destructing demonic spirit. I'm telling you this. If you allow discouragement to get hold of you and pull you right down into the dumps, you will walk in the desert, my brother and my sister. You will be in trouble. And but why do we get discouraged? Because we focus on the problem. If something goes wrong, then we focus on the problem and we start talking about what Satan is doing. We're lifting the guy up. Look what the devil's done. Look what the enemy's done. Yes, recognize it's from the devil, but stop giving the guy glory. Stop talking about what Satan is doing. Start talking about what Christ has already done for us. And get to a point and say, man, I know what Satan's doing, but I also know what Christ has already done. Yeshua's already died for me. It's paid for. Take that thing and start functioning in it. Go forward and get your healing, get your marriage fixed, get your finances fixed. Come on. Amen. And don't get discouraged. Amen. Well, when we get discouraged, man, things just keep on going wrong. I know it keeps on going wrong. Oh. But we give up. And many, many times we get discouraged just before the breakthrough comes. Man, I heard this story about, how many of you know, how many of you got iPads or iPhones or Apple? Big, you know, I mean, the technology in the world is so great now, especially with Apple and then the PCs, Hewlett Packard and all those guys with the computers. But did you know that, let me give you an example quickly. Apple, when they figured out their whole computer system before they started Apple, they went to Atari and Hewlett Packard, the computer guys, and said to them, here's the concept. What do you think about it? If you like it, take it. You know what Atari and Hewlett Packard says? Nah, we don't like it. It's not going to work. If Apple had got discouraged right there and said, that's it, you wouldn't have an iPad, you wouldn't have an iPhone, you wouldn't have an iWife. My wife, whatever they want to call it. The whole technology in computers would have been totally different if they had got discouraged and cut the Apple concept out. Did you know how many Coca-Cola, bottles of Coca-Cola was sold in the first year that Coca-Cola started? 400. In 1 year. If Coca-Cola had given up and said, well, we're trying to sell our product, Coca-Cola, and only 400 bottles have been sold in the first year, they had stopped right there. Pepsi would have been the biggest poison company in the world. But now Coca-Cola is the best, biggest poison company in the world. Can you see this? How, what could have happened if people get discouraged? And many times you and I get discouraged with things that God's giving us and promising us and inventing through us. And we just give up because people don't like what we do. It doesn't look right. And we just go backwards in the desert. Let's just stay where we come from. Come on, Henry Ford went bankrupt 2 times in 3 years. No wonder the Fords are so bad. I told you last year, if you're a Christian, you've got to drive a Chevrolet. I mean, did I tell you why? No. You know what Chevy stands for, haven't I told you that? Chevy, you know what Chevy stands for, don't you? Now, first of all, people ask me, why don't you like Fords? I said, because a Ford is a Dodge, and I don't like a Dodge. People say, why is a Ford a Dodge? Because a Ford, F-O-R-D, you know what F-O-R-D stands for? Yeah. No. What happens is, all the Dodgers that get into wrecks, they take them, they fix them up, spray them a different color, put a Ford badge on them. That's what a Ford is. Because Ford really means feeble, old, remodeled Dodge. Okay. I'm just joking. But Hansi, why do you say that Chevrolet is Christian? Because Chevy, you know what Chevy stands for? C-H-E-V-Y. Christians have everlasting victory, y'all. Why did I say that now? Where am I now? Henry Ford went bankrupt 2 times in 3 years. If the guy had given up, who knows what the whole motor industry would have looked like? Michael Jordan, basketball player, was kicked off his high school team. He could have gone backwards and said, I'm joining gangs. I'm going to do drugs. But you know what he said? I'm going forward. I'm going to show you that I can do what God has put inside of me. And come on, if worldly people can have that attitude, what about you and me? Why do we just, sometimes I think we Christians are marshmallows. And the devil just, and we just, I'll just take the punch. And the devil just tramples on us. According to my word, the word of God, I see that Satan is under my feet. I'm not under his feet. It's time for you guys to stand up and whatever's come against you, whatever the world does, how you bullied, how they tell you, or what a Yeshua freak, or whatever, you tell them, yes, I'm a child of God. And I'm going forward. And I'm saved. And I'm healed. And I'm prospered. And I'm loved. And we don't have to stand back for nothing. For absolute nothing. I'm not a political preacher. But I'm telling you one thing. It's time for the Christians to get on Facebook and say, we hate abortion. Like they're doing now. Especially with all these laws coming out. And make your voice sound. So we could speak against evil. You don't have to become a political guy to say what is right and what's wrong. Okay. Are we going forward or are we going backwards? Now there was a guy. Let's take an example of what discouragement can do to you. There was a guy whose name was David. Man after God's own heart. Playing the harp. Looking after the sheep. The people want a king. So God says, right, I'll give you a king. No, but we want a king right now. So God doesn't want, and at the end, Yahweh gives them King Saul. We all know the story. He messes up. Big time. So what happened? Yahweh says to Samuel, I want you to anoint another king for me. So he goes around looking. I'm just compressing this whole story. Goes around, and he looks, and he cannot find the right guy. Gets to the house of Jesse, one brother missing. Go call him. David leaves all the sheep and he's playing and writing his psalms, comes in. Yahweh says, there's the man I want you to anoint. And David is anointed that day as the next king of Israel. Listen to what I'm saying. He gets a promise to become the next king of Israel. But he's not the king yet, am I right? Because King Saul is still the king. But he's promised to be the next king. So what does he do? Well, he just goes home and does what he always does, with the promise. One day he goes down to the valley where the Philistines are, and he goes to feed his brothers, and there's a big, fat, ugly giant cursing God, cursing the people, and Saul, the big sissy, doesn't want to go fight, and David says, hey, what's the problem, guys? I'll go whip him. And they, they want to put him on armor and say, no, you're too small. And they say, man, I kill lions. I kill bears, man. Where's my little stone? Walks up to this big guy and says, hey, you ugly thing. Hits him and hit him down, cuts off his head. And Saul sings, hey, this is quite a good guy to have in my army. So he employs David, and David goes around winning battles for Saul. And David comes home, and when he walks through, as he comes into the city, the women are playing the tambourines. Here comes old David. Boy, he's good looking. Hello. And he's slain 10,000. And Saul, when he comes back, the people sing, here comes old big Saul again. He's old. He's only slain 1,000. And Saul becomes jealous of David. You all know the story. Because of what David's achieving. And he starts wanting to kill David, spearing him. The Holy Spirit leaves Saul, and David comes in with a harp, and everything's okay. But Saul was to kill David, tries to kill him 23 times. Yeah, running off him. And David, listen to this, runs away from the enemy and ends up in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, in the cave of Adullam. With 600 people. Now, I try to figure this out, how long and where the time span was, because from day one where David was anointed as the king until he actually became the king, And I'm going to say plus minus because some people say a year or two earlier. Plus minus 17 years from the day that he was anointed to the day that he became the king of Israel. And then I try to figure out when this was. When did he write this? And plus, minus, again, more or less, I can figure out. I've tried to call people and look it up. They think it's around about year 15, 2 years before he became the king. So for 15 years, he went up, killed Goliath, worked for Saul, and then started running away from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him through using his wife Michelle, using Jonathan, his son, using everybody. So this is in the more or less in the year 15. And look, at this point of time, David is running away from Saul so many times for so long that he's down in the dumps. He becomes discouraged because the enemy's just after him, wanting to kill him. Does it sound familiar to you? You think the devil's just going to leave you alone because you're a child of God and you come to Shabbat and you enjoy it and the team is good? He's going to try and whip you and give you sickness and destroy your marriage. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean he's going to roll out a red carpet for you. He's going to want to get you discouraged so you could go back and say, this God thing, this Yahweh thing, this church thing is not working. But he just doesn't know that we can go forward. Right. And we're not going backwards. Right. So in verse 15 more or less, David is in the cave. And this is a discouraged man writing here. And there's four things that I got from this scripture of what discouraged people do. And maybe this morning some of you will realize that you've gone through the same thing. And why am I doing this? I want to encourage you to not get discouraged. But rise up and in the power of the Holy Spirit, go forward. Look what David says, number one. And David said in his heart, point number one. Discouraged people, Pastor Mark, they talk to themselves. In their own mind, in their own thought life, in their own spirit man. They don't talk to God anymore. Why? Because they're discouraged with God. Why hasn't God healed me? Why hasn't God given me a baby yet? I don't have a husband or a wife. I'm trying to get a job. Look at my finances. Why isn't God? Why in God all the time? So they now start figuring out in their own mind, in their own thought life, what to do about the situation. Have you ever been there? Let me tell you something that's very dangerous. This. Well, Hansi, can I not talk to myself? Yes, you can talk to yourself. But when you talk to yourself, you've got to talk to yourself right things. There's nothing wrong talking to yourself. But if you have a problem, listen, you cannot solve cancer. You cannot heal cancer. You cannot fix the problems. You've got to give it to God. That's what was said. Yeah. You've got to let go and let God do this thing. Yes, you have a part to believe and to pray and to trust and to keep on going forward. But there's things that we cannot do. And we get so discouraged. And David is so discouraged now that he starts saying in his heart, his perspective is wrong. He's not looking to God anymore. He's looking to how he can figure out and how he can fix this thing. He's starting to press the panic button. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's running away. Abraham did the same thing. What did God promise Abraham? A child, Isaac. But the child didn't come. So what did him and Sarah do? They, in their own minds, decided, I'm going to sleep with a slave woman and get a child. And they made an Ishmael. And we're still battling with Ishmael today. How many Ishmaels have you made? Because when you're in panic mode, then you start pressing the wrong button. And you start thinking, what must I do? Is it I or is it God? What do you want me to do? Where's your perspective? When you're discouraged, I promise you this, it's like you're pushing God out. David doesn't even talk about the promise that was given to him. He's just trying to figure out by himself. And his own perspective is totally mixed up. You see, you cannot fix problems. You've got to go to God. The second thing that he does is, what does he say to himself? He says, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Oh, my goodness. Really, David? What about God telling you that you're going to become the next king after Saul? Now you're telling yourself that Saul's going to kill you. God never said Saul's going to kill you. So now he becomes pessimistic. Never, what is in his mind, what is in his thought life, what is in his heart, in his spirit man, now comes out of his mouth. And this is where you and I start speaking, just like the Israelites did, and we start saying, you know, we should have died in the desert. You know, we should have gone back to Egypt. And we start saying things, and you got to watch out what comes out of your mouth. You can have if you believe it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and you do not doubt, but you believe in your heart that those things will come to pass, you will have what you say. And a lot of us are saying, I'm going to die from this heart problems. Because my dad had heart problems, my grandfather had blood problems, and my great-grandfather had heart problems. So the doctor tells me that I'm going to have heart problems. Hey, didn't God promise you healing? So why are you saying now what the doctors are saying and what the devil is saying? Why aren't you saying what Christ says? By my stripes you are healed. I don't know about you, my family has a lot of sicknesses, but I've cut that curses off of my life. I'm not going to take it. I'm going forward. I'm not going to stick behind and walk in the desert and just accept because they had heart problems. Now I got to have heart problems. I don't know if you believe that or not, but you got to watch your mouth because there's power in your tongue. There's life and there's death in the power of the tongue. And the more we start saying, oh, I'm so sick and tired. You know, this just drives me crazy. How's your back doing? Oh, my back's just killing me, man. I told my wife when I stopped ministering as an evangelist, I'm going to open a funeral home. Right next to one of these 10,000-seater churches. And just wait for all those Christians whose backs are killing them and their feet are killing them and they almost died laughing. And just listen to how many times we say, died laughing, this is killing me, that is driving me crazy. No wonder we got a bunch of sick Christians. Everybody's saying, I'm sick and tired of these kids. And we don't even realize that we, Hansi, are you serious? Yes, the word says, don't speak those idle words. Don't speak those destructive words. Rather speak the word of God. And it might not sound, I mean, just because you say it once, your back's not going to kill you. But I mean, your back's most probably not going to get healed because you keep on saying, my back's killing me, my back's killing me. Hey, I'd rather start saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. And fight with my words, fight with my mouth. And because the more I say it, the more I hear it, the more I hear it, the bigger my faith comes. I told you last time when we preached on that. So, hey. David becomes pessimistic. He doesn't even mention, he's forgotten the promise that he's going to be the next king. When you are discouraged, you start figuring out in your own mind how to fix it. Number two, you'll be so pessimistic, you'll speak negative words and tell things. That, do you know, the doctor has told some of you that you're most probably going to have heart problems, or you'll most probably get some diabetes because your whole family's got it. And you know what we say? Well, that's just the way it's going to go. And you never go forward and get your miracle. You just walk around in the diabetes. We have to stop that. Well, okay. If you don't want it, then just stay sick. Some of us even say this, oh, you know, it's February. And every February, you know, I get the flu. Whether the first or the second week, every year, it just comes from my nose, everything. It's January now, so I'm just expecting. I might as well get the antibiotics before the time. And guess what? You get it. It's almost like, you know, you're sitting on your couch and there's a at the front door, you walk up, you open the front door, and there's a demon. Hi Johnny, here's the flu. for 2019. It's February. And you say, well, I really don't want the flu. Demon says, no, but every year you order it, you tell everybody that you usually get the flu. Amazon sent me. It's just right there. And you say, well, you know, yeah, I do usually get it. I mean, okay.
Free shipping.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Free shipping.
I'll tell you what you should be doing. When you're sitting on your couch watching television and that knock on the door comes and you open, and there's the demon. Yes, hi, Johnny, here's your flu. Say, hey, whoa, whoa, Baba. Thank you very much. I've just made up my mind. This year, no more flu. I'm not taking the flu no more. Well, what do you mean you're not taking the flu no more? Well, I just had it, man. You guys come here every year and you give me the flu, and I don't want the flu anymore. I'm not going to take the flu no more. And the demon will start arguing with you and telling you, well, it doesn't work that way and all that nonsense. And you just put up your little collar like this and you say, hey, I got a message for you. I want you to go back to Satan with this message and tell him this. A return to sender, address unknown. Take your stupid flu and your cancer and your diabetes, go back to your master and tell him the address unknown. No more. I don't want this no more. I'm going forward. I'm going to get my healing that Yeshua promised me on that cross. And stop going backwards and claiming, well, we should have died there. We should have done that. Well, everybody's getting it. Everybody gets the flu. Hey, why do we have to be everybody? Aren't we special, chosen, righteous, holy children of God? But just because some of us say, no, well, I don't want to get sick. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And nothing changes. Then we give up. It's a fight of faith. And you got to fight all the time because Satan's never going to give up and we never got to give up.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I hope I'm getting somewhere with somebody. The third thing that he did. So, discourage people, try and figure out in their own mind. Then they become pessimistic and they start speaking trash. And let me tell you something. Satan is a master of letting you speak nonsense. Trash, negative, because he knows if you could speak it, you could have it. Third thing is, he says, there's nothing better. Hang on a moment. I just forgot about this. If I was David, but number two, you know what I would have told David? Saul? Saul-y boy, you want to kill me? Remember that big guy? Come to Papa. Come, come, come. Where is the lion-killing, bear-killing David, Goliath-killing David? Now he's running from the enemy. Now I want to ask you, why are you running from Satan and the demons? I thought greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You got more power in you than Satan ever has. Every person sitting in this room this morning has got the same Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Ruach, that Yeshua had inside of him. Do you realize that? There's no different Ruach in you than was in Jesus. He said to the disciples, if I go to my Father, I'll send you another helper, another the Holy Spirit. He said, and you will do exactly what I did and do greater works. Why are we sitting on the pews waiting for a preacher to come and push you over when he prays for you? Just for the interest sake, some people say to me, when you pray for people, people don't fall over. And I can know, because I don't push people over.
That's right.
I don't have to push you over. There's no anointing in pushing you over. If the Holy Spirit puts you down, then fine. But I'm not going to push you over. Okay. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, lives in you and me. You can go do what he did. And it's time for us to go forward in those callings and do what Yeshua did.
Amen.
So number three, he says, there's nothing better for me. Just right there. When I looked that up, it basically means this, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Come on, David. Have you forgotten about prayer? David? How many times did David pray to God? Should I do this? Should I go there? Should I stay? And Yahweh told him every single time what to do. Now he's in the cave and he says, I don't know what to do anymore. Saul's going to kill me. You see how down in the dumps people get when they're discouraged? He forgets to pray. People that are discouraged, number three, forget to pray. And if you, quite honest with me today, you've been so discouraged, some of you sitting here, driving in your truck, trying to figure out, talking to yourself, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You don't know how to do it. You're unhappy. And then you start saying, it'll never change. I'll never get the job. My wife will never get back. And then you don't even pray to God. You don't even talk to God about it. You ignore the promises in the Word. Why are you guys so quiet this morning? David ignores that he's been anointed as the next king. He ignores it as if it's never there. He should have said, no, the promise of God is I'm going to be the next king. And he doesn't. He says, I don't know what to do. He gives up, doesn't pray. Well, as a matter of fact, 2 Samuel, was it 2 Samuel that I gave you? 1 Samuel 22:5. Do you know David didn't know where to go? David didn't know what to do. 1 Samuel 22:5. And now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold or the Adullam cave. He said, depart and go to the land of Judah, the land of praise. But what did David do? He departed and went to the forest of Herith. He didn't do what the prophet God told him to do. He knew exactly what to do, but he's so down in the dumps that he doesn't even hear when the prophet speaks to him. Listen to me. My wife has been sick for many years, and she's getting better slowly. Brother Mark came and gave her a word this morning. You know, if we are so discouraged, we'll ignore that word of yours. Some of we, when somebody comes here, when the brother comes up and gives a word, if you're so discouraged, you say, "Ah, well, that happened for you, but it never happened for me." And we'll cut loose some prophetic words that come our way, and it's for you and for me, because we're discouraged and we'll do exactly the same. I don't know what to do. And we won't listen to the prophet that gives the word. Amen. Because we're discouraged. Man, I want to encourage you today. Please don't go there. Go back. Who's doing the words? What's his
name?
Stephen, thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Is that you, Stephen? Okay. Go back to the 27 verse 1. So number one, if you're discouraged, what's going to happen? You're going to speak to yourself. Number two, you're going to start saying negative death words. Number three, you're going to give up. You're going to pray. You don't know what it's going to do. You're going to ignore the promises of God. And number four, when you're discouraged, you usually make a decision. And I'm telling you one thing. Discouraged people make the wrong decisions. Amen. That's why many people are divorced today. That's why many people are on drugs today. Because they get so down and dumped, they say, well, I might as well drug again. Well, this is not working between me and my husband. And they make a wrong decision and they choose wrong. There's people that are choose wrong to leave a job. They leave churches. There are people that are at home right now that should be in this church this morning. Amen. But has made a decision on what's happened in this church. Somebody said something, somebody didn't greet them, and they got discouraged or unhappy or offended, and they've left. And they're still there, and they don't want to come back because they know they should come back, but they're too shy to come back. So they just stay there. So I want to encourage you, if you know of discouraged people, go talk to them, pray for them, tell them you love them, tell them you're sorry if you did something wrong, and invite them back, get them back. Because if you don't, and if the people sitting here this morning, if you don't get hold of that discouragement, demonic spirit, I'm calling it just straight what it is. It's not from God. Discouragement is from the devil. If you don't get that demon spirit and you break its power, you will do and make the wrong decision as David did. The fourth one that he does, he makes a decision. And David says, I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And that's where Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. He makes a decision. He leaves and he goes to the enemy's camp. That same Goliath that he killed, he goes, joins that tribe, Philistines. And like I said, there's people in church that have left the church and gone back to the enemy's camp, to the world. And they're in the world now. And they think that drugs and alcohol will lift them up out of their discouragement. And it will, maybe just for the night. But tomorrow morning, they ride back again. So they just got to keep on going, keep on going. If you don't watch out, you will backslide because of discouragement. Yeah, but I won't. I'm watch out thee that stands, that you don't fall. Never say never. Don't you take on the enemy. Don't tell him, well, I'll never do that. You watch out. Satan has got his sly plans. But thank you, the Holy Spirit is much more wiser than he is. And if you and I just keep on going, hey, when you get discouraged, you got to cancel it immediately. When my wife was in the hospital almost dying, you thought, I think I never got discouraged? Oh, yeah, I did. But I quickly realized, if I hold on to discouragement, nobody's going to fight for her. Nobody's going to lift her up. I'm right there with her. I had to open my big mouth and say, no, in the name of Yeshua, Satan, get behind me. She will not die. She will live. I had to encourage myself. And you know how I encouraged myself? Through the Word of God. The Word of God, Jeremiah 15:16 says, I didn't give it to you. It says, and I saw the Word of God and I ate it. I ate it and it became to me the joy of the Lord. Jeremiah 15:16. That's my own words. I'm just paraphrasing. The Word of God, when you discourage, get in this Word. When you discourage about your marriage, go see what the Word says about your marriage. God hates divorce. He doesn't want you to argue and fight. Yeah, but we're not getting along. Well, maybe you should stop watching pornography. Maybe you should stop looking at another man's wife. What's your wife's name again? Kelly, I don't want to look at you. You're a beautiful woman, but I don't want to look at you the whole day. You're not my problem. You're his problem. I got my problem sitting over there. I love my problem too. And I'm her problem, you know. So, oh, I'm just joking. Why do I want to look at another man's wife? I don't care how beautiful you are. You're not my wife. So go and get, hey, the Word will encourage you and reaffirm the promises that, hey, yeah, but the doctor says I've got cancer. Yeah, but what does the Word say? Yeah, but the fact is I got cancer. Yes, I know. But the truth says you are healed. The fact is you got cancer. The truth nullifies the fact. What's the truth? The Word of God. Are you getting with? If you've got financial problems, don't get discouraged. See what the Word says about your finances. Pay your tithes. Easy as that. Well, you know, I mean, I've got emphysema and I got COPD. I don't know why God's not healing me. See what the Word says. By His stripes, I'm healed. But you got to be obedient. Are you still smoking? Yeah. We were in Illinois. I'm going to finish up now. We were in Illinois, and I prayed for a guy who had all these pipes in his oxygen and stuff. And I closed my eyes when I was praying for him for some reason. And there wasn't somebody behind him. I just said, Lord, Father, I ask you right now. And this guy hit the ground and hit his head. I thought, oh, my goodness. He hurt himself with that. We picked him up. Said, you okay? He was okay, right? And he goes, prayed. And I said, can you take out the pipes? He said, no, if I take out the pipes, I cannot breathe. I said, well, go home, and when Yeshua tells you, then you take out the pipes. So the next night, I come, we had a revival. I come in the front door, and there's a guy walking in the foyer. Hi, Brother Hans. I said, hi. And he looked familiar. He said, remember me? I said, he said, I'm the guy that had the pipes in last night. Wow, he said, last night, 11 o'clock, I took out those pipes. Yeshua told me to take it out. Look at me. I'm healed. I ran today. I'm healed. I thought, whoa, man, isn't that good? So the next night, a woman comes in with pipes in. She said, I heard somebody that had COPD and had oxygen was healed. Yeah, I want my healing. So the people are excited. God's going to heal another one. And just before I pray for her, I said, you aren't smoking anymore, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I am. I said, how old are you? 76. I said, well, ma'am, you've got to stop smoking, because if Yeshua heals you and you're still smoking, you're just going to come back. She said, listen, young man, I like the young man sing. He said, listen, young man, I'm 76 years old. I've been smoking since I was 14 years old. I've got COPD. All I'm asking you is pray that Yeshua heals me, and that's all I want. I'm going to die. This is what you said. I'm going to die smoking, but I don't want the COPD. Now, I believe that Yeshua's will is to heal you.
Amen.
I don't believe this if it is his will. I believe it's Yeshua's will. If you disagree, that's okay. According to the word of God, I believe it's his will. That's what he died for. So you know how I prayed that night? Father, if it is your will, which I never pray. I always say, it is your will. Thank you for healing her. That night I had to pray that because that lady never got her healing. Why? Because she was disobedient and she didn't want to do something. She didn't want to do her part of it. Are you with me? Okay, so I don't know how I got there again, but in any case, there goes David. He joins the Philistines. But listen to me, my brother and sister. This guy goes so far backwards, David, that he becomes the armor bearer of the king of the Philistines. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The armor bearer walks around with the king the whole time. David goes so far back that when the Philistines want to go and fight Israel, you know what David said? Let me go. Come on, king, let's go. David wants to go kill the people that he's going to be the king of within 2 years. But he doesn't know it's going to take 2 years. He's busy with the 15 year that he's been waiting. And he doesn't know it's 2 years, then he's going to be the king. Oh, never mind, 2 years now. I mean, now the Philistines want to go and fight. It's a few months. Then he's going to be the king because King Saul's going to kill himself. And David doesn't know it, but he's prepared to fight the children of God, of who is going to be the next king. There are Christians out there in the world right now that are backslidden, that are talking evil about you and me, and they will destroy the church. They're even prepared to fight against the Christians who they were part of once because of discouragement. And the man backslides and goes so far back that he wants to kill his own people. Thank heavens that the Philistine king tells him, nope, you stay behind. David was mad. Go read it. So what happens? The Philistines go. They give Israel a good whipping. King Saul gets wounded. And he kills himself because his armor bearer doesn't want to kill him. And King Saul dies. Philistine comes back. The king says, woo, we have victory over Israel. David's shouting, yeah, that's great. And I could just see him think for a while. Oh my. King Saul's dead. Well, that's good. Bing. Hey, now I'm the next king there. And thank heavens the guy wakes up and realizes that he's in the wrong place. He's supposed to be the next king of Israel. And that's how he gets back and goes back and becomes the king of Israel. But look how far this guy goes backwards. Just because of discouragement. How discouraged are you this morning? Are you so discouraged that you're ready to leave the church, leave your wife, leave your job, which you shouldn't be doing? Or can you be so encouraged this morning that you know that wherever you go, Yahweh is with you? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And it doesn't matter how hard you're going through. He's always there. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it. I know. You don't always have to see. When the wind blows and you see the leaves blowing, you aren't seeing the wind. You cannot see the wind. But I can see the leaves blowing. I know. You're seeing the effect of the wind. You're not seeing the wind. And sometimes Yahweh is not there. We don't see him. But he's there. Because he promised us he will always be with you. The spirit, Ruach, is joined to your spirit, Corinthians says, has become one spirit with you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Wherever you go, he will give you the wisdom, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Ask him for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for discernment, for wisdom, for knowledge, for prophetic, for faith, for healing, miracles, for speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Ask him for that. And you will find out that it will be much easier to get to your promise, even if the devil is trying to put red seas inside of you and attacking you from behind. You will get through. Just don't get to a point where you give up and say, I'm going back. And go so far back that you go back to your vomit. Because the Bible says the dog returns to his vomit. We are children of God. We've got to keep our eyes on Yeshua. We've got to keep on going forward. And I don't know what you're going through. I just know how I'm attacked, how my wife's attacked. And great word for her this morning, it was 100%. Remember the word that you got in South Africa 20 years ago? It's almost the same word. Am I right? Yep. So God just reaffirming to my wife this morning that she can go forward. Because sometimes she gets discouraged as well. How long must I stick with this? How long must I go for it? Listen, guys, nothing on life is going to be easy. It's a fight. But you can do it, all right? Okay? Give Yahweh a big clap.